Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, 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 everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, March 21st. Welcome to Left of Straight Show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please tell your friends all about it and share on social media. If you ever miss an episode, download our free app. Any iPhone, Android, tablet, go into your app store, type in Left of Straight Radio. Right there for the taking, kids. All free. You'll never miss an episode of any show on Left of Straight Radio. But thanks for tuning in, guys. We've got a good show for you today. In just a little bit, musician, singer, songwriter Stephen Davis is going to be on. He is part of the American Songbook, creating singing songs such as Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all the classics. He's also written some great music and has a new album coming out soon. So that will be very cool. If you missed yesterday's show, had such a fun chat with Bane Gibby. If you don't know who Bane is by name, you'll know her in a lot of the funny things she's been on TV. She's a great comedian, been on everything from The Closer, with Lisa Kudrow from Friends, to Mad Men, to web series, to so many great things. And we had a fun time, so be sure to check on the app for that or look in our archives here. It's a lot of fun stuff. And then we'll have all sorts of fun tomorrow with Standing on a Soapbox. So much to talk about politically. We got our Neil Gorsuch confirmations. We have the entire Trump investigation about wiretapping and what's going on there, and then so much in LGBT news to talk about. So lots of fun stuff. So we'll be ready to go in just a little bit with Stephen Davis. Let me give you some news that caught my attention this week so far. Of course, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race starts this Friday. They announced their guest stars. Of course, we have Gaga coming in for the very first episode. But they have some really cool people. They have B-52s. They have Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth from 90210. Lisa Kudrow, we just talked about, from Friends and The Closer. Cheyenne Jackson, fantastic Broadway performer and movie star. Keisha, Andy McDowell, Candace Kane, Meghan Trainor, Naya Rivera from Glee, Dennis O'Hare, Noah Galvin from The Real O'Neills, Todrick Hall. So many more. So it's going to be a great show. And then announced just the other day, J.J. Abrams, who's put together such great things as Lost and the Star Trek franchise and the new Star Wars franchise, he is going to be creator or executive director of a new I don't know if it's going to be a reality series or what's going to be about RuPaul's early years. When she was first up and coming in her punk rock days, she was in a band and talking about the early RuPaul. So that's gone to series, which is pretty exciting. And then, of course, you have Underwear Impresario, Andrew Christian. He has a new reality show calling Model Behavior coming out very soon. And that's going to be about all the backstage shenanigans, all those gorgeous boys of his underwear modeling business that go all over the world, find out all sorts of behind the scenes things there. So those will be kind of fun. I wanted to give a big shout out to Columbus Pride right here in Ohio. They've added a new rule this year for the Pride Parade. It requires any business or organization that wants to be in the Pride Parade to provide proof of their non-discrimination policies in order to participate. Huge deal. It's a huge Pride Parade. Probably one of the, like I said, Columbus used to be like the fifth most gay-friendly city in the country. I mean, it was huge. It still has a huge scene. Last year, we had over 400,000 people show up. I mean, we're talking almost 500,000 people show up to the couple days of Pride. It was amazingly huge. It's just a big event in a huge park in downtown Columbus. But good on them for making anyone that wants to participate have those non-discrimination policies. It's good to talk again, but it's great when we actually walk the walk too. So I thought that was pretty exciting news. Coming up this weekend, if you're a big book fan, you know I like to talk to authors here from time to time. In New Orleans, it's the annual Saints and Sinners LGBT Literary Festival, March 24th to 26th. Like I said, in New Orleans, brings together authors and readers and people that create books and bookmakers. And publishers all together in New Orleans. Kean Douglas, if you remember him from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, he was the hair guy. Jake Shears from the Scissor Sisters is going to be there. It's the hometown of Christopher Rice, Anne Rice's son, so I don't know if he's going to show there or not. But it's always a good time had by all, so that's this weekend, 24th to 26th in New Orleans. And what else do I have? I want to congratulate. Happening right now in New York, our good friend of the show, Dr. Vince Pellegrino, his LGBT documentary about coming out, it's called Talk It Out, and it is premiering tonight for the part of the New Filmmakers Festival in New York. There's a cocktail reception going right now from 5 to 6, a screening at 6 o'clock. And it's on 32nd Avenue, New York, New York. I don't know if I'm going to be playing it afterwards. Congratulations for him for getting this into the film festival. So that was very cool. And I was reading a little bit about Katy Perry this week, too. I don't know if you saw the article or not, but she kind of opened up. If you remember her Kiss the Girl song back in 2008, she talks a little more openly about it. She says, honestly, I've always kind of gotten it right. But in 2008, when the song came out, I knew that I started a conversation a lot of the world seemed curious enough to sing along to. She did a lot more than just Kiss a Girl, actually. She experimented when she was younger. She goes on to say, my first words were Mama and Dada, God and Satan. She was growing up in a very religious household, and she her homosexuality was synonymous with the word abomination and hell. And it's like she was very unconsciously aware of that kind of stigma and actually was praying away the gay herself when she'd go to Jesus camps or Bible camps when she was younger. So she understands the struggle, what people were going to. Like she said, she hasn't come out as bi, she hasn't come out as gay. Of course, she did marry the comic, and I can't remember his name right now, which will come to me when I least think about it. But she did experiment, and she understands the pain being from a religious family and what that was all about. So kind of crazy stuff there. I thought that was an interesting story. But let's get on. We're going to have our first and only guest today, singer-songwriter Stephen Davis, calling in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking the big band and classic American songbook. But first, speaking of singers, you know I'm a huge Queen fan. Love Adam Lambert is touring this summer with Queen and original Freddie Mercury, the original band. So good. Such a great singer. Recently released his solo track. They took out his track. You know how music is mixed. It doesn't all come together perfectly in a soundstage where they're all singing together in harmony. They actually put tracks together, right? And so they've released an isolated Freddie Mercury's track from the Queen anthem, Somebody to Love, right? It's been on Glee and all of the other songs. And it just goes to show what a pure singer he was, rock singer. It has that rock growl to it. But this is the isolated track from featuring Freddie Mercury from Somebody to Love. I just thought it was all kinds of cool. We're going to play that for a little bit, and then we're going to come back with my guest today, Stephen Davis. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Can't barely stand on my feet. Take a look in the mirror and cry. Lord, what you doing to me? I have spent all my years in believing you, but I just can't get no relief. Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love? Yeah. I work hard every day of my life. I work till I ache my bones. At the end, I take home my heart and pay all on my own. I go down to my knees and I start to pray till the tears run down from my eyes. Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love? Every day I try, but everybody wants to put me down. They say I'm gone crazy. They say I got a lot of water in my brain. I got no common sense. I got nobody left to believe. No feel, I got no rhythm. I just keep losing my beat. I'm okay, I'm alright. I ain't gonna face no defeat. I just gotta get out of this prison cell. Someday I'm gonna be free. Lord,
me somebody to love, find me somebody to love, find. Find me somebody.
Find me.
Find me somebody to love. Find.
Ooh, find me somebody to love. Ooh.
Find me somebody.
Ooh, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Find me somebody.
Somebody to love. Find me. Ooh, somebody to love. Ooh, find me, somebody to love. Anybody, anyway, anybody, find me somebody to love. Love, oh, oh, oh. Finally, 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 finally.
All righty, we are back. And that was Freddie Mercury from Queen with the solo track, his only track from Somebody to Love. Just amazing voice there. So hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Now, guys, you know I love me a little American Songbook. I love big band music, a little swing thrown in every once in a while. So I'm so happy today to have a singer-songwriter on whose journey from singing gospel in church to wowing crowds from New York to L.A. has made him a sought-after performer who's getting ready to go to a new album. But right now we want to talk about this fantastic album he's put together, full of just some of the best music from Sinatra to Martin. Oh, my gosh, so good stuff. Please welcome to the show Mr. Stephen Davis. Stephen, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be with you today.
Well, thank you so much for being on. I love this kind of music. This is just amazing. This album that you put together last year, just fantastic. How fun was that to do?
Oh, it was really a blast. You know, it's always a great ride when you're in the process of making a recording and all of the stages. You know, that it's just really a cool ride. This one in particular, we recorded at Capitol Records, and it made it all the more fun because we found ourselves in Studio A, where, you know, some of the iconic singers of all time and some of my great heroes like Frank Sinatra did some of his best work in that very room. One of the thrills for me in doing it was that I was singing into Frank Sinatra's original U-47 microphone that they've kept all these years.
Really?
It was quite a thrill. Yeah.
That is,
you know,
fantastic. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to talk to you about that earlier. I actually worked for Capitol Records. When I lived in L.A., yeah. I worked for Capitol Records, and we had our Christmas parties in the bottom two studios down there. And this is how old I am. We had the Motels playing live for us in Studio A at the time. And we had the all the food and drinks and everything in Studio B over there. But they were such a great company to work for. They used to take all of the – every 6 months, they would have an album sale, like vinyl sale. This is how old I was, right? Mm. And you would go in there. You could go to the – they would fill the entire Studio B with all these old albums, and you could pick up all your back tracks to anyone who's on Capitol, from Bowie to Tina Turner to Frank to all these people, anyone that was on a Capitol or EMI label. It was the most exciting time alive. I had some great album collections from there. So
oh,
I just wanted to hear
amazing.
All about that. That is
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's a great place to record, yeah.
I can imagine on Frank's microphone, that is just crazy talk.
Well, it was weird, you know. I mean, it's like a pinch me moment, you know, because you kind of, you know, what happens before that moment, which is like the whole process of doing work tapes where you're listening to what we call work tapes. But what they are essentially is just a sketch of what the orchestrations are going to be in the songs
oh,
that
gotcha.
We chose on
okay.
this. So you don't really hear it in its full fruition or its full form until you're standing there, as I was, staring through that microphone at a big band, and then they start to play, and for the first time, it's kind of like the baby's being born, you know, right in front of your eyes. You get to hear it on its feet. It's just so exciting. It's like
and we're talking
a
full 17-piece band, right?
Oh yeah, and it's under the great leadership and amazing arrangement skills and talents of the great Andy Farber out of New York City, and he's just an incredible arranger, just marvelous. So it was really quite a thrill, quite a great ride. And we also had the great Ed Cherney, who was our engineer and mixer for the project, and he's like a living legend and such a thrill and such great guy to work with. So it was a feel-good ride from the beginning to start.
I love that. I can't wait to hear more. So talk a little bit about where you grew up, though. I mean, I said in the intro, you started performing in church, I guess. Where did you start performing, and where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, and then literally right in the middle, actually, in Omaha, Nebraska. And every time I say that, people always say to me, wow, I've never met anyone from Omaha. So now you have.
There you go.
But I did start singing. It's all I've ever really known. I since I can remember, I think I was around 5 years old, and I started singing in church, and before I knew it, I was singing in front of hundreds of people all over the place, and I loved it. It was for me as a kid, it was just exciting. It was fun, and I loved music. I came from a family that loved music, and so it's really it's just part of the whole journey. And
nice.
You know, I
overseas with orchestras and everything. What was your first paying gig?
Oh, you know, I started kicking around L.A. and then New York and did small clubs and did Atlantic City a few times, which was fun. Did some touring in Japan. Went there with the Houston Pops Orchestra. Actually, they flew the whole orchestra over there, a 70-piece orchestra.
Wow! Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah, this is kind of an amazing. And when you think about it, the Japanese really have a great deal of a fascination for some of the iconic movie stars. Like they love Fred Astaire. They love anything that has to do, of course, with Elvis, but they also have really, really been involved in fascinations with people like John Wayne. But when it comes to Cole Porter, all the music that we were doing on that concert was Cole Porter, and it makes you wonder. Well, they're not. I'm pretty sure they weren't getting all of the urbane references of all the Cole Porter's lyrics.
Right.
but they love
that's
the
interesting
sound of the
they
music.
Have that fandom. You wouldn't expect that. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, you wouldn't. So it was fun. And then I finally settled in New York City and spent some time living there for many years, and was lucky enough to follow again some of my great musical heroes like Tony Bennett and Rosemary Clooney, and I did the Rainbow and Stars, which was the premier kind of cabaret room, you might say, in the world at that time, and then went down the hall a year or two later and became the band leader and host and singer of the Rainbow Room. And so those were, I was like held as a bird in a gilded cage, which was like going to a Busby Berkeley set every night. For
the Rainbow Room, that's iconic, man. You were the conductor. You were the main arranger for that. What were you there?
I was the singer and the host of that room, and it was just
wow.
It was a really great job. It was really one of the finest jobs of a person of my ilk of music could secure it. And so I just felt really lucky. You know, it was really fun. Really
that
fun
is
to
fantastic.
Get every night.
That's one of the things I like about it too. I kind of read in your bio a bit that you're kind of, if it's not about fun to you at this point, it's really not really worth doing it, right? You want to make sure that this is enjoyable for you as it is for all your listeners.
Well, Scott, and I am a firm believer that if you're not having fun and you're in the business of making music, no one else is going to have fun listening to it. So, on a personal note, I want it to be a good ride. And I want everyone that's taking the ride with me to also have a good, feel-good ride with it. So that's really kind of the bottom line. And I think that when your spirit is in that mode, you tend to really make good music. What comes out of that is a good thing.
Exactly. I love that. Well, talk about your first project. You've been known as a great romantic singer, and back in 2015, What Happened to Romance? I want to play that song sometime soon in just a second. I love that song. Did you write a lot of these songs as well, right?
Yes, with my co-writers, yes, Josh Charles. Mm-hmm.
And how was that album to do?
Well, that was the first big band album on the series of big band work, and it was also with Andy Farber. We did that very quickly. We wrote, I think we began writing in September, as I recall, And wow. we furiously wrote our brains out, and we recorded it in November, in the middle of November. In fact, I think I was in November on my birthday, which was the 17th. So, yeah, so it was a quick, it was a very quick thing, and wonderful, wonderful time. We had a great time doing that album. It was great.
That's amazing. Let's go ahead and take our first little break here. I want to play one of the songs that sometime soon I just loved. We're going to go ahead and play that, and then we're going to come back and talk a little more all about The Way You Look Tonight and start some of these classics that everyone's going to know here. We're listening to Stephen Davis right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Lately, I've been thinking that we could hang our hopes on the stars. We'll aim even higher. We could never go too far. We'll taste wine on the Rhone and the Rhine in the glow of the midnight moon. We'll find dine in a bistro in Paris. We'll be there sometime soon. Last night I was dreaming. We were looking back on the years. Through all of our travels and all of our journeys, our love never disappeared. As long as we stay true, we'll have it all sometime soon.
Talking to Stephen Davis. That is a track from his first album, Sometime Soon, from the What Happened Romance album. But Stephen, I want to get into this Way You Look Tonight. Like you said, it's such a classic. Were you always a big fan? Did you get to go see anyone in person from that era?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Say that one more time.
I said, were you always a big fan of the big band? Did you get to see any of these people, Dean or Frank or anyone in person ever?
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yes. I've always loved big band music and always been attracted to all of the great singers of that period. You know, and I did see Frank Sinatra several times in concert through the years. I actually went to Frank Sinatra's 75th birthday party.
Really?
That was quite an event. Yes, it was held held at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. Yeah, and it was kind of a thrill because I'll tell you, everybody in Hollywood who was anyone and any singer of on a world stage was there that night. It was really spectacular. It was really, really
imagine.
Quite an event. It was amazing.
Oh my goodness.
And I was actually sitting at a table that wasn't very far in positioning from his table. So I was able to watch his reaction to everything that was going on stage. And at one point he actually went on stage and, Henry Mancini was conducting, and then the then young Harry Connick Jr. came in from New York. He was doing his Broadway show, his first Broadway show at the time, and he performed
wow.
that night. I mean, it was just an amazing lineup. It was a real thrill to be there.
I can imagine. Oh, that just it'd be fun watching Frank's expression, watching other singers sing Frank.
Yeah,
that had to be interesting.
Yeah, that was really kind of the best part.
So
wonderful.
Cool. Now, the way you look tonight, you have great songs. We're going to play a couple of them in a second. Luck Be a Lady, you made a fantastic video out of. How was that video process for you? That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. We did that in a sound stage downtown L.A., and we were in good hands with a good director and producer, and we had a it was a day. We did it in a day, you know, and it's a lot of hard work, a lot of hot lights, and I think it was like 105 degrees that day. It was a really hot day.
Oh,
in
my
LA.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I've always wanted to record that song. I know it's a sacred cow, and I will readily admit that it will forever be owned by the chairman of the board.
Well, you did it very well, my friend. You did it justice. We're going to play that in just a second here. And then talk about some of the other influence on this album. You had Frank, you had Dean. I love Dean Martin. And you did Fly
yes.
Away with Dean, right? You did Dean's Fly Away? Or?
The Dean Martin song is, now you've got me, is, I'm drawing a blank. Isn't that funny?
That's okay. I did too. I'll
find
it out for you.
I got so many songs swimming in my head.
I understand. I'll have it right here. Believe me, no problem. But what was your parameters? What were you looking for to bring on the album? What helped you choose the songs that you chose?
Well, my producer Josh Charles and I, we sat down at the drawing board and we just decided that we wanted to do an album of strictly iconic songs from that period. Songs that we know and love, but also just songs that were right for me. And it's really hard to choose from all the amazing songs. I mean, where do you start, right? I mean,
right.
There's just so many amazing, great songs. And so we started thinking about the great artists of the time and then the big records of the time. And then we just started carving out the songs and then limiting and editing them down. And this is what we got, but it was, I mean, when you start revisiting all of the great songs of the Great American Songbook, wow, how do you beat that? Right.
Right. Ain't that a kick in the head? That's what it is. I remember. All right.
Ain't that a kick in the head. Thank
that
you.
Was the demon.
Thank
I had to remember.
Yeah.
I was coming to me. I knew come on it, but I thought that was Dean. I forgot. Ain't that kick in the head?
And that was a big record for Dean Martin. Yeah.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
a
great record.
I also want to play a little bit "On the Street Where You Live." That's one of my favorite songs. That's from the musical, right?
Yes, My Fair Lady. It's a wonderful melody, isn't it?
I love it. I think it is. It's a beautiful melody. So much fun. Who would you say today the big band really well? We have Buble out now. We still have, like you said, Harry Connick, everything. who do you think is really embodying this big band music today, besides yourself, of course?
Well, I have to say that I, having lived long enough to see the rise in popularity, the likes of Harry Connick Jr., who really is he's just flat out a genius. He's a musical genius. I've always loved Harry, and I've always admired his work. And then, for a long period of time, I wondered, okay, so because he kind of went off musically into some other arenas and just, changed things up a bit. I'm so glad that he's on TV again, and we've got the Harry Show, which is wonderful. And he's doing a little bit more of the big band kind of era music. But I really am happy to see that the emergence of Michael Bublé on the world stage, because he is a phenomenal singer. He was born to do this. He's just an absolute natural. His sensibilities, his intonation, he's just incredible. So I'm a great fan of Michael Bublé. I think what I love about the fact that he's emerged after many years of wondering, oh, who's going to take the spot, right? Is like he kind
right.
of owns that spot. We've got Tony and he's the king. And we all learn from the greats, and he certainly is one of the greatest of the greats. But we've got Michael Bublé, who's capturing a whole new audience today, and so ears are being, young ears are being tuned, toward that sort of music that I think is
right.
a wonderful thing. So I'm thrilled that he continues to do well, and his star is rising higher and higher. So he's amazing.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm so glad you said that, because I think Harry is so good musically. I mean, he can do anything musically.
Yeah.
But Bublé really comes across as the old performer type, the Frank Sinatra, the one that really owns the stage, I guess. Harry's more musically
you're right.
inclined. So
he's
great
a
on the keyboards
classicism.
And everything else. Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that's very cool. Now, let's talk about that. Who would you like to do a duet with, past or present, if you have the opportunity?
Oh, wow. That's an interesting question. if Lady Gaga could do a duet with Tony, wouldn't that be a thrill?
That would be awesome. I'd love to hear you with her.
Their collaboration was so wonderful. I love Diana Krall. I think Diana Krall is
ooh,
also another, great, great, great singer, incredible musician. So it would be wonderful to do something with Diana Krall one day. I actually was on a show with her, not singing with her, but it was on the same bill at the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles years ago. She's just a stellar talent.
Yes, she is. And someone from the past, who would be your dream collaborator from the past? There's so many great ones to choose from back there.
Oh.
If you had to pick one.
It'd be fun to do a duet with Bobby Darin.
Ooh, another good choice. I love these choices.
That would be great. I'm a big fan of Bobby Darin.
How fun. All right, let's take another quick break. I want to play a little bit of Luck Be a Lady here. We'll play that, and then we come back. I want to talk about, you almost didn't sing it anymore. You had a serious vocal cord problem for a bit. I want to talk all about that, and we'll talk about where everyone can find the way you look tonight. But we're listening to the amazing Stephen Davis. This is his version of Luck Be a Lady right here in the Leftist Trade Show. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on this date with me,
the pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might refuse to stay. And so the best that I can do is pray. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck if you've ever been a lady to begin with. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck let a gentleman see just how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you treated other guys you've been with. Luck be a lady with me. A lady doesn't leave her escort. It isn't fair. It isn't nice. A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. So let's keep this party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby. I'm a guy that you came in with. Luck be a lady tonight. Let a gentleman see just how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you treated other guys you've been with. Luck be a lady with me. A lady never flirts with strangers. She'd have a heart. She'd be nice. A lady doesn't wander all over the room and then blow on some other guy's dice. So let's keep this party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby. I am the guy that you came in with. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady.
Back. That's the amazing Stephen Davis with Luck Be a Lady from his album The Way You Look Tonight. So good. Oh my God, the video is so good. Guys, check it out. It's on Vimeo. You got to check that out. Oh, I'm impressed. I am impressed, Mr. Stephen Davis.
Well, thank you, Scott. Now, I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Oh, so good. Now, we teased it for a second there. I'm reading all about you here, and you had a vocal bleed that almost. You had to stop singing for a year. You had like steroids and you had to stay silent for like weeks at a time. Talk about that. How scary was that time for you?
Well, it was, I call it my Zen period. you know, it was interesting in that, interesting timing when that happened in that I hadn't really sung for quite a long while. I kind of jumped off the train and took a long hiatus. And just as I was thinking and considering strongly about coming back into the fray and doing some more recording, I suffered this vocal bleed, which was brought on by a profound coughing spell, which lasted for hours. And I went into the studio. I was actually doing some test tracks in the studio, and I opened my mouth, and nothing came out. I mean, it was like it was gone, and it was pretty scary. So I went to the Vanderbilt in Nashville. I went to the Vanderbilt Voice Clinic. And the great Dr. Ossoff, who is world-renowned, said, Mr. Davis, you have a serious problem. And I thought, oh, my, now I'm going to hear the C word. What's going on?
Right.
You got a vocal bleed. And I said, well, I don't know what a vocal bleed really is. Talk to me. What is that? And he said, well, it's a fine little capillary in the vocal cords that bursts. And it was brought on by the coughing spell when I told him that I'd had a terrible coughing spell a few days before. So he immediately put me on massive doses of steroids, and that lasted for quite some time. And he said, now, I want you to understand me very loud and clear here. When you leave this office, you're not to speak a word for 5 weeks, and I mean not a whisper is to pass through your lips.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was one of several periods of 2 weeks at a time, 3 weeks, another month, throughout the course of almost an entire year. And he said, and I can't stress enough that if you do not remain silent, it's not going to be possible that you will get well. I can tell you that. So he said, and even at that, I can't guarantee that you're going to ever really sing again. We're going to do the best we can do. So and during that period, the reason I call it my Zen period is that I began to take a reassessment and embrace the idea of what it meant to me all of my life to be able to sing, and what that gift meant to me. And how much did I treasure it? How much did I honor my gift? How much was I responsible toward my gift? And so I dug deep into all of those questions for myself and emerged out of it able to sing again. And now I am celebrating more than I ever could have before the joy of singing and the joy of making music and recording and writing songs. Now I have a different relationship to all of it, which is, I think it was a gift, actually. It was a gift.
I love that. Oh, my goodness. That, I mean, so you've heard of, like, polyps, and you've heard of strained vocal. I've
yes.
never heard of bleeding. That's just wild. That's crazy.
I had heard of polyps and all of that, and I thought, well, yeah, there's that, but what about a bleed? But the scary thing about some bleeds, and it depends on where they – how profound the bleed is and where it is in the vocal cord. If it's in the middle of the vocal cord, which they call the strike zone, where most of the sound is made when the two cords come together and vibrate. But if you have some scar tissue in the wake of the healing of a vocal bleed like that, it can change your voice forever.
Wow.
And that's the scary part. So I was given a reprieve, Scott.
Well, I love that whole attitude. That Zen attitude is amazing. That's just incredible right there. That's the way you have to handle it, because none of us really know what's going to happen tomorrow, and that's just the kind of way to look at it, where you come back and then stronger than ever.
Well, and during that period, I had to kind of embrace the idea also that if I was never going to be able to sing again, how do you feel about that? Right? You know, it's like how will you – and so it comes down to a long process of acceptance of what is.
Very, very cool.
You know?
What's your most memorable or favorite fan moment you've had? I'm sure you've had people just so impressed by the singing. Have you ever had any fun experiences with a fan or a comment from anybody?
Oh, I don't even know if I should tell you. This is so self-incriminating. I was at the Rainbow. I was at the Rainbow Room one night, and I come off the stage after a long set, and this this gal chases me, this very attractive gal. She chases me down the hall and she grabs my arm, and she has her boyfriend or husband with her. And she says, okay, so we just really loved it. We just really loved this evening. Thank you so much. But I had a bet with my husband, because my husband wants to know if your hair is real. And I said, of course it's real. And he said, no, it's a toupee. So can I touch your hair? I said, no, you can't just touch my hair. You have to pull on it. So she yanked on my hair, and sure enough, she found that it was my hair, and we all had a good laugh. But that just comes to mind. It was so crazy.
Crazy. I like that. Now, what do you think? You've listened to the standards forever, as I have. What are your feelings on vinyl starting to make a comeback? What's your feelings on vinyl versus digital, especially in big band sounds?
Well,
I'd like to know what your thoughts are.
Well, We're going to press in vinyl, and the whole thing about vinyl as in the analog domain as opposed to the digital domain, which we're now in with CDs and so forth. There is a warmth and a beauty to vinyl that I never ever could have dreamed that we would be back full circle to embracing that again. This really is a surprise that I never saw coming. When CDs took full, replacement of all the vinyls from ages, I thought, well, we're never going to go back. So I just gave all of my records away. I had a huge record collection. I can't believe I did it, but I did. Here we are again, right? And it's really quite spectacular. And I'm amazed that the kids today are really wanting the vinyl. I like to have a large format to look at. I want to hold it in my hand. I want to see, there's just something, the business of putting on something on a turntable and the needle and the whole business of that. It has a lore to it that is I thought it was lost forever, and now we're full circle back again. It's really cool, but the sound is warm.
I love it.
Real.
I was telling you I was working at Capitol Records when I went to those sales every 6 months, and I got everything the Beatles ever did, because Apple EMI was part of Capital there.
Yeah.
So I got every Beatles album. I was so excited. I was so proud of my collection. I wasn't a huge music collector, but I had my Beatles. My brother went and sold it out from under me when I wasn't looking. I was so mad. That's the biggest fight I ever got in my life. And it's funny because the albums themselves aren't worth anything, because the way Capital does is they use a hole punch, but a hole punch in the corner of each of the things, so it doesn't go through the record.
Right.
But does that just so it's not, you can't use it for valuable kind of things like that. But just said he took my entire complete Beatles collection. I still haven't forgiven him, as you
bad
can tell.
Brother.
I'm talking
bad
about
brother.
It now.
Bad.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Now, do you still perform
live
at all, or are you primarily doing studio work now?
Been very busy writing and recording, but this year we don't have anything. We don't have any clear dates yet, but they're coming up. So stay tuned.
Nice. All right, well, give everyone your website, and you're not a big social media person, I don't think. I couldn't find you too much on social media, but give everyone your website where they can find your music.
What are we structuring?
And of course, you're on iTunes, I imagine.
Yes, I'm on all the digital platforms, iTunes and Amazon. But we're restructuring at this point in time the whole website. But it's StephenDavisMusic.com.
Great.
And so we're getting there, but it's taken a little bit more time than we thought.
Well, Stephen Davis, it's been my pleasure getting to know you. Thank you so much for your gift and sharing it with us. Amazing songster and such a great singer. I love the classic. Thanks for being on the show today.
Scott, it was such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Stay on the line for me. We'll play out here with Stephen Davis is On the Street Where You Live cover, again, from The Way You Look Tonight. Go catch that album. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Today we'll be back next Monday and Tuesday for two more Left of Straight shows. Thanks for listening, and have a great evening.
Mm-hmm.
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? Can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. And oh, the towering feeling just to know somehow you are near. The overpowering feeling that any second you may suddenly appear. People stop and stare, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where you live. Time go by, I don't care if I